As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Stars Matter, a recruiting podcast from The Athletic. I'm Mitch Light, college football editor with The Athletic, and I'm joined by Ari Wasserman, our national recruiting writer for The Athletic. And Ari, once again, a special guest, Andy Staples, is joining us, our colleague from The Andy Staples Show and Friends. Guys, we're going to dive right in. Our other colleague, Bruce Feldman, tweeted today that the Travis Hunter to Jackson State, I think he called it the biggest shocker on signing day that he's seen since covering the sport. Andy, would you agree with Bruce?
It felt historic because we're in this period of quick radical change. And then you got a guy, and I thought this was going to happen in basketball first because you'd seen a lot of top basketball recruits. Mikey Williams, the top 2023 guy, I believe he had three or four HBCUs in his final.
Well, it did
five.
Happen. Didn't Maker, Thon Maker's younger brother go to Howard? It didn't work out.
Yeah, but he was like number 15.
Got hurt.
This is number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, or number two, depending on what service you're looking at.
He's number one, yeah.
Yeah. So, this is huge. And what it shows is how much more leverage, power, you name it, the athletes have. Because this is a guy who looked at the situation and decided, hey, I don't need the infrastructure of a Florida State or a Georgia or an Alabama to be successful, to get me to the NFL. I can go play for a guy who is one of the best who ever played my position. He can develop me for the NFL, and I can walk in the footsteps of Walter Payton, except the difference is when Walter Payton went to Jackson State, it's because none of the powers wanted him. And meanwhile, Travis Hunter can go to Jackson State and say, I don't need any of the powers. I can help bring some of the power to Jackson State. And I mean, when you think about it, just from a historical perspective, why does Jackson State exist? Jackson State exists because people who look like Travis Hunter weren't allowed to go to the other universities in Mississippi for a long, long time. And that didn't change until the latter part of the 20th century. So it feels like a pretty big deal. And you can be cynical about it. You can say, oh, he got better NIL deals or whatever. It doesn't matter. We entered an era where an athlete had that level of power because the rules have changed and the dynamics have shifted, and he made a decision that might lead other athletes to make a similar decision.
No. We've seen other people in this position put HBCUs in their top five.
Correct.
I think Corey Foreman did it last year. You know, I think that making a statement or at least including them to bring awareness to these universities or more awareness of these universities has been a nice little boost the last few years. But there is a stark difference between including these schools in your top five and saying that you're thinking about them in interviews and drumming up hype. And there's a difference between that and actually being the person who does it. And I do think that, and it's funny, Mitch, because remember when we wrote the story about Travis Hunter, when was it, 6 months ago?
Yeah, it was in April.
He was complaining about he complained to me in that interview that he wasn't the number one overall player in the 247 composite rankings. And we laughed it off and we thought it was funny. He's an eccentric guy. You got to love that confidence about somebody like that. But I think that the fact that he finally got that boost that he thinks he deserved makes this more significant. I don't know, Andy, if you agree, Mitch, if you agree, but the fact that he's number one overall is the biggest possible step. If he was number three, it would still be big. If he was number six, it would be big. But the fact that he's number one, of course it's historic. And, you know, people, Mitch, I think you were even making fun of me earlier about the entry that I had in the newser that we put out. History was made. Now, that didn't mean that it's on par with some of the historical events in the long, illustrious history of our country, but it could be the first thing or the most significant thing that can lead to a catalyst for change. And I try to wonder, could Deion Sanders in 5 years or 7 years or 10 years, if he still remained at Jackson State, sign a top 25 class?
I think he could. He could probably do it in 2 years.
I think Travis Hunter needs to go well with Travis Hunter. He needs to have a good experience there, stay there for 3 years, and go to the NFL. If he decides after 1 year, you know what? Andy mentioned the word infrastructure, but the infrastructure from maybe, you know, everything from dining to facilities, to, you know, he's just like, this isn't what I expected, and he transfers. I think that would hinder that from happening. But if he has a good experience, I think there's no doubt that that could happen.
We say this over and over again.
What if Deion gets hired for a Power 5 job? Remember, Deion won a lot of games at Jackson State. Weren't they 10-2? So he's winning a lot of games and signing good classes. Do you know what usually happens to college coaches when they win a lot of games and sign really good classes?
They get hired by Florida State.
Or other places, exactly.
Right.
I went up and I looked at his salary at Jackson State, and it's $1.2 million a year.
Really?
And I know that what he's not doing or what he's doing is not financially driven. And, you know, maybe he wanted to be a Power 5 head coach first, and then when he found this purpose, it's changed the way he's viewed his course. But Mike Norvell is getting paid, I think, $5.5 million a year. And there's this whole different viewpoint, and I think we can maybe get into the Norvell thing, you know, later on in the podcast. But I do think that this is a little bit less surprising because Deion Sanders is in charge. I also think it's a little bit less surprising because HBCUs have an inherent connection with African-American athletes, and all those things together can make that happen. But we do talk about over and over and over again, guys, that the number one thing that these college athletes want in a program is to go to a place that's going to develop them for the NFL. That said, they also want to be in the NCAA video game when it comes back out. They also want to play in big stadiums. They also want to be on ESPN. They want the experience in the locker room and the Xbox and the meal, all the facilities and the infrastructure that Andy was talking about. So the interesting thing to me is that while Travis Hunter made this huge jump and made this huge step for HBCUs trying to attract black athletes, I wonder how many people will be willing to take the leap that he did, giving up not just, even if you can get developed for the NFL, just the amazing life that a Division I Power 5 athlete has for 4 or 5 years, well, even before they get to
it. It's not going to be for everyone. It really isn't going to be for everyone. I mean.
And Ari, you interviewed him. I think he calls himself the lone wolf. He's a different guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's sort of the same thing as Alabama's not for everyone. The same guy that would thrive at Alabama may or may not thrive at Clemson. So there are going to be other people who, for them, this might feel like the right decision. But you might have needed a Travis Hunter to make it first to push them into actually making it. But no, it's not. Is that going to keep really good players from going to Alabama and Ohio State and USC? No, of course not. So now, will it lessen the percentage of people who do? Now, that's what I'm curious about, because remember, when all this NIL stuff was getting rolling, the big fear, oh, now Alabama and Ohio State are going to have an even bigger advantage. Well, they couldn't have a bigger advantage than they already had. Logic dictated that somebody else might be able to use this to kind of shear off a player or two from those schools. Well, maybe that's what's happening. And maybe it's not Jackson State next year. Maybe it's SMU, which used to be pretty good at this stuff. Or maybe it's, I don't know, Nebraska. Or maybe it's San Diego. Who knows? It could be any of these, depending on who's going to be creative.
You know what I think is interesting? And we'll add this all up once the commitments are in there. I think last year it was in between 60 and 65% of the top 100 players in the country went to one of five schools. Let me read off to you right now where the top five or the top four players in the country are committed to. Travis Hunter, number one, Jackson State. Walter Nolan, who insanely
did sign
without hesitation, did sign on Wednesday, which I think was a it was like a solar eclipse. You see it rarely, but when you do, it's always nice. So Walter Nolan to Texas A&M, Luther Burden, number three overall, Mizzou. Number four, Travis Shaw, North Carolina.
Those are all people right who would have gone to Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State.
But yeah. Now 14 of the top 100 are going to A&M. So the numbers are still going to be there for the big
But players. A&M wasn't one of those
But
schools.
A&M wasn't a part of the top five last year.
Yeah, no, I know. But A&M has elbowed its way into that discussion as the premier recruiting school. I want to transition while we're to Mike Norvell because we could have talked about him later. Could not have had, I don't want to say a worse day, but he, not only does he lose his number one player, who he's had for 15 months, they fended off Georgia. How many rumors were there that he was going to flip to Georgia? But it also, Marvin Jones Jr., the son of a former Florida State All-American, picks Georgia over Alabama. So, Andy, you live in the state of Florida. University of Florida had a good day recruiting, got a five-star. Kamari Wilson,
talk about that too.
That I don't think people expect him, a late four-star. Too early to say for Mario Cristobal at Miami, but not a good day for Mike Norvell, right, Andy?
Really? It wasn't?
I don't think so.
Because he signed a five-star safety. He signed a top 100 quarterback. Do teams that lose but to FCS teams usually sign that kind of class?
Florida State, coming off two classes in the 20s, was outside the top 10 heading in today, looked like they had a good chance to sign a top 10 class. I think they're now in the teens.
Okay.
So
they lost one player. And oh, by the way, Travis Hunter hurt Mike Norvell? Or ultimately, did he help Mike Norvell? Do they have
He didn't go to Georgia. He didn't go to Florida.
Do they have this class if Travis Hunter hasn't been committed for the last 15 months? Did Mike Norvell get a contract extension this week if Travis Hunter hasn't been committed for the last 15 months?
All good points.
You got to look at the whole picture here.
Yeah, I agree. But don't you think in the eyes of his fans, he is not
fans.
As popular?
They get mad about stuff.
David Upman did a whole story about it. Twitter Spaces story about how you had to
fantastic.
Say fire Mike Norvell to go in. So, no, Andy, good points there. But still, I mean, when you've got the number one players committed for 15 months and you don't get him.
Oh, it sucks, but what was he going to do?
The thing that's tough about this one player, Andy, is that Travis Hunter was like the identity of Florida State's rebuild. And I think that when you're in a situation where you were Florida State and you used to be one of the top five programs in America and you won a national championship in the last decade, it's hard to say that any one player is going to save your program or make or break your build back to what you were. But there was so much made about how good Travis Hunter is because he's a stud and how he believed in Florida State during a time in which nobody else did. And like the identity of the rebuild was based on his belief.
Yeah.
So it's not just necessarily that they lost one player. And I think when you lose one player and he's the number one player in the country, that's like losing four other blue chip players at some point.
It is, but here's the thing. What was the difference between Dan Mullen and Mike Norvell this year? Really? Mike Norvell had Travis Hunter committed.
Yeah, and I was going to say,
he saved a guy's job. You want him fired, he saved him.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, the fact that he got the contract extension.
He flipped on him, but he still saved him.
Signed it. Yeah. No, I know. But like, talk about best timing to sign a contract extension in the history of college football.
They also played better as the season progressed.
They did. They should not have lost to a Florida team that didn't have a coach, but they do. They were better, and so the trajectory is still up. It would seem for Florida State.
I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not in the Fire Mark Norvell camp. They just were showing they had the potential, and I don't know, Rari, what are they now? 17, 18? They could sneak into the top 15, but had the potential to sign a top 10 class. You know, what's the difference between 10, 12, 15? Not a huge difference there.
It is when the difference is the number one overall player. I think I'm like with Andy, but I'm not with him. Like, I think that this was a monumental loss.
I don't think so. I think it looks terrible, but when you look at it on balance, that dude still saved Mike Norvell's job.
Oh, I mean, I guess like if the point is Mike Norvell's better off to have had lost him in a flip rather than not ever having him at all, then obviously losing him in the flip was better. Might be more painful in the end, but also, you know, made people believe in the Florida State rebuild. But now if you go into next season without Travis Hunter, people are already going to be down on Norvell moving forward. And if they lose two or three games in the first half of the season next year, it's just we're back at it again. So, you know, I also think, too, that he could have been a two-way player that is legitimately could be a first-round draft pick at corner and could be a first-round draft pick at receiver. Like, he's that good of a player.
Did you see what A.J. Duffy, the quarterback, tweeted today?
What did he tweet?
Just a broken heart. That's all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah.
But they got A.J. Duffy, so that's good.
What are the odds that Travis Hunter winds up playing at Florida State, either because of what you guys were saying, where maybe this is not what he envisioned, or because Deion gets hired there and he just goes with him?
Right. I mean, if Mike Norvell's smart, which I'm sure he is, you don't burn any bridges. You tell him, we understand your decision. Good luck. You know where we are. If it doesn't work out, you can always come back. So,
how much did your viewpoint, guys, change of Deion Sanders as a Power 5 candidate after today, if at all?
The record was already changing my view of him as a candidate. They were
good. You have to be a good coach to do that.
Yeah,
to do what he did. It's not all smoke and mirrors.
From a wins and loss thing.
Well, you can't. Okay, let's say he went 3-9 and he's doing this. Then you say, okay, he's just recruiting guys, but he, you know, I did not watch Jackson State football this year. I watched a little bit, but he clearly ran a good program and won a lot of games. So I think, yeah, the chances it becomes a Power 5 head coach, in my eyes, my view, went up today. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I would just automatically hire somebody who got the number one overall player in the country to commit to an FCS school.
But you would.
Right.
You absolutely.
Texas Tech would.
Am I the worst athletic recruiter in college football?
I would hire him because he went 10-2 and he's a good recruiter. Now, remember, getting his own son to come play quarterback there is a different deal. This is completely next level. And remember, who was Zach Evans' mentor? Like, I don't think he's done.
Yeah, I mean, if you put Zach Evans in the SWAC backfield, he's going to do some damage.
They also signed the number one junior college transfer last year, too, who was, I think, supposed to go to Penn State. So that was another recruiting one.
So, yeah. I mean.
No, I think this is one. In last year, you know, we did the research about how many guys they signed. I think some of the guys, there might have been some academic issues. There were other issues. This is, like, legit. It wasn't like, oh, he didn't get into Florida State, or there's some legal issues. This is a guy, obviously, who could have gone anywhere, was the number one player. So it just validates what they've got going on there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
So, okay, let's move on, Ari. Tell us about your day with your good friend, Keontae Goodwin. By the way, I was so confused. I was traveling yesterday, and I know Keontae Goodwin's from Indiana / Louisville, and I know you live in Dallas, and then you said you were going to go to watch him sign, and I was so confused that someone would get on a plane to go sort of not announce where they're going.
But then you found out that it was an event that was sponsored by Takis, right?
Yeah, which I've never heard of. Should I have heard of that place?
Oh, Takis like are so tortilla good. Chips.
Okay, not in Nashville. I've never
They don't
seen
have them
one.
In Nashville?
No. They're so is it a everywhere. Restaurant or a chip?
It's like a chip that you would see in a gas station.
Okay.
It's like a,
I do the like shop. Rolled, I do the grocery shopping, and I don't see them at Publix.
It's a rolled here, so. Tortilla that is covered in the most delicious red dust you've ever had in your life.
Ooh, okay.
It's right, probably toxic, but
I've
it doesn't
legitimately
matter.
Never had them, but it's amazing. I've never had them.
Okay.
My kids
but
love
I was
them.
Also I was also kind of taken back by it because this was definitely like a PR thing for Takis, and they got a few players that weren't committed to show up, and I think the people at Takis were really mad because Keontae Goodwin was supposed to be the star of their show and like get people to watch because he was going to announce between Kentucky and Michigan State, and his announcement was that he didn't have an announcement. And I stood in the back of the room, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Well, it worked out. They're getting more publicity. We're talking
say,
about
can we fire
Takis
the
now.
Takis employees who got mad about this? Because
right.
we've talked more about yeah. Takis today because he didn't have a decision to announce than we would have ever done if he had a decision to announce. Which,
they
by
did
the way,
get,
he's
they
still
mentioned
made.
It in your story. You mentioned Takis in your story.
Well, you had to. Yeah. I mean, it was to explain why the man was in Dallas. He flew from Louisville to Dallas to not announce his college decision. Then he flew back to Louisville and announced it at his Guardians gym where he works out every day.
We were in Chicago for an editor's conference, and we talked about potential story ideas. And one is like crazy signing day situations, you know, whether Landon Collins or Alex Collins' mom not signing. This one's on the list. In 10 years when we look back.
I'm just happy that it happened to be where I was because like you never know where this is going to land, and it landed right in my lap. Also, it's funny because you're right. We did talk more about Takis than maybe ever before. And Andy, how much is the going rate for you to say it has the most delicious red dust than you'll ever? That's like a $10,000 ad right there.
Probably. I mean, I don't know.
Just to hear it out of your beautiful mouth
these days, but it's true. it's the funniest thing because my son yesterday, before all this happened, said, "Dad, we need more Takis. We're out of Takis."
Oh, so you buy the actual like family sized bags
in the grocery store
for
yes.
the house,
right? Yeah,
oh, okay.
But they also have the you know selections of the mini bags that you can pack in their lunches.
Oh, okay. I've only ever seen them in gas stations.
You should feed them to your daughter.
And
right?
I got
She's
confused.
Like, what, 3 months, she can eat them.
Oh my God. None of that stuff. She's not going down the Ari Wasserman lane of eating, that's for sure. But it was insane. And it's just like the idea of watching this debate go back and forth in real time. It's like I went and I followed him up the stairs because it was a two-story room. And he went to the corner of the room after he got up there and said he couldn't make a decision. And he sat by a bunch of catered boxes of kolaches. Is that how you say that word? Kolache or kolache?
Kolaches.
Yeah. And
wow,
he was eating
so,
one. And
wait,
I
this is hands across the world. We got the Mexican Takis. Snack and the Czech snack, the Czech Republic's yeah. favorite snack. This is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really big in Texas. Nowhere else I've ever been like was like big on the, they're like pigs in a blanket kind of where they have hot dogs or they're stuffed rolls. And
well, they also have fruit in them. West Texas, the town's name is West. It's where the Czech stop is, not C at C H E C K, C Z E C H. The Czech stop. Yeah. It's right off of I-35, 20 miles north of Waco, on your way to Austin. And I'm sorry, on your way to Dallas. And the apricot one is actually, and they'll heat it up for you at like 2 a.m. Oh, come on.
Oh man, hold on. I'm gonna yeah. Where are my keys? But he was sitting in the corner and I went up to him and he didn't think, for whatever reason, he seemed like stunned that there were reporters there. And I said, "Hey Keontae, can I just talk to you for a few minutes?" Because like you could tell, like this wasn't what his plan was. You know, he's getting advice from somewhere or someone.
So are you saying that a you know, second tier chip manufacturer, did not have the greatest PR strategy going into its first foray into college football recruiting.
I mean, knocked me over with a feather. It worked out well. But I asked him, like, what are you doing now? And the guy goes, I don't know, man. Like, he was so defeated. And I almost felt bad for him. And then, like, I wrote this story that I thought was an interesting column about wackiness that happens on signing day. I sent it to Mitch. We're about to publish it. And then all of a sudden, okay, I'm announcing again at 3:30. And I'm like, okay, well, I just wasted all my time writing the story in public. Just trash it, and I'll just rewrite it again. An hour later goes by. Okay, I'm announcing at 5.
In a different state now,
and I'm going to be announcing where I work out every day. And Mitch and I were talking, like, there's like a 60% chance this kid doesn't announce at all. But the thing that's really, really interesting to me, and I thought was funny, guys, is that he got offered by Kentucky when he was 13 years old and he was in middle school. It's like, did the extra 2 hours really, really get you there? And it's like, I like to think that, like, him and his guardian were on the phone, who also happens to run the gym that he works out at, and Rondale Moore.
So you're sure this wasn't this wasn't all planned?
I don't know. Maybe if it was a plan, then they did a great job of executing.
Masterful.
They made dysfunction look natural. But I just like to think back and forth. They were calling both coaches and, you know, flipping and flopping, and there were reports that he was committed to Michigan State this morning, and there were graphics made, and, you know, the whole charade. And then at the end of the day, he just signed with the program that's been riding with him since he was 13 years old. So
we're kind of burying the lead here, though, too. I mean, Kentucky signed a five-star offensive lineman.
And I was talking about this with Andy on XM, but like 8 years before, the eight classes before Mark Stoops' arrival at Kentucky, Kentucky signed 8 four-star prospects. And this year's class, in the 247 composite rankings, they have 1 five-star prospect who, guys, by the way, when we're recording this at 8:46 p.m. on Wednesday, still hasn't signed his letter. So watch out for that, just in case we want to get...
Is it Barry and Brown?
No.
Oh.
Goodwin hasn't signed. Yeah, so you don't...
Come on, really?
I might have to go look at the story. If you said he signed, hopefully we said he picked Kentucky, so he hasn't signed yet.
Yes.
What's Mel Tucker doing now?
They're anticipating that
he's going to sign with Kentucky, and Mel Tucker is going to tell him to transfer to Michigan State, just because that's what Mel Tucker does.
I would not let this kid sleep on it, but, you know, that's what it seems to be. But the stat is 8 four-star prospects the previous 8 years combined at Kentucky. This year, they have 1 five-star prospect and 8 four-stars. In a class that ranks number 11 nationally right now.
Yeah, you know, the SEC East? Missouri 11, Kentucky 12, Tennessee 13. Not a bad day for those so-called mid-tier SEC East teams, and a great day for Tennessee. Which
they're not so-called middle-tier team. They are.
Okay. Up until a week or two ago, Tennessee was outside of the top 25, which didn't make sense because Tennessee always recruits well, and they have a new coach with a fun offense. So they closed very well. So we already talked about Florida doing some good things today. Obviously, Georgia had another monster year, but a really good day for Missouri, Kentucky, and Tennessee as well. And then Auburn 14, so we had 4 SEC teams in a row, which isn't a surprise.
Yeah, and I bet you if you look them up, like, those 4 teams are like 6th, 7th, and 8th in the SEC, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That's insane.
But Missouri, sort of like Kentucky, Missouri getting a 5-star.
Yeah.
Obviously, Luther Burden, and they got their future quarterback in Sam Horn. Coming off they went 6-6, right? I think they're in a bowl game. But probably a little bit of a disappointing season. They rallied late there. So we knew Missouri and Kentucky were having good classes. I think Tennessee is kind of an under the radar big story of today.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to see if Tennessee could flip Walter Nolan, or at least make it interesting and have him sign in the early or the traditional signing period in February, just to kind of see the A&M Tennessee battle and see if they could have transcended the geography and got him. But, you know, Texas A&M, guys, I think story of the day, in my opinion. I don't know what you guys think. We anticipated it a little bit. But A&M is absolutely eating right now.
Yeah, number one in the 247 composite.
You should listen to my interview. We got a bonus episode dropping in the feed with Jimbo Fisher. And, by the way, Walter Nolan's mom apparently makes the best screens.
I'm listening.
Are you intrigued?
He also dropped a hint. He said the other best cook in the class, or best mom cook in the class, he couldn't tell me because the person hadn't signed yet, but he said it was Cajun food. So get the detectives out on that one.
Jacoby Matthews, the five-star safety.
That would be the one. There
from
you go.
Louisiana?
Yes.
There you go.
I don't know how to pronounce that town's name, though. Ponchatoula?
Ponchatoula.
Yeah.
But real quick, Ari, then you go on A&M. They are number one right now, 25 commits, average player rating of 94.18. Right now, Alabama is two with a higher average player rating, but A&M still has some more guys out there. And are you still very confident in your assertion from a few weeks ago, Ari, that A&M will win the recruiting title?
I'm like 50-50 between them and Bama.
So you're not confident?
Like, I don't know. I mean, I think A&M is just going to sign more players than Alabama. So if they do that, then they're going to win it. But I also know that it's not fun to say it doesn't matter. But, like, I think it doesn't matter.
Ari Wasserman saying it doesn't matter who wins the national recruiting
crown. I'm saying that
crown.
It doesn't matter who wins the crown when both classes are the same. They're very comparable.
Now, same division.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody is going to fret over who's number one when both are signing 15 top 100 players. It's like 30% of the top 100 are going to those two schools. And that doesn't even count for Georgia, who hit a few. And, you know, now Florida landed a guy. Huh?
Hey, Billy Napier coming in hot.
Yeah.
So Kamari Wilson, who was an IMG Academy guy, I believe this is Florida's first IMG Academy signee, by the way, which is, they've had football for a while now.
Ever?
So what you're saying is everything's fixed then.
I don't know what you're saying. Wow. No, but Kamari Wilson, the thought was he was choosing between Florida State and Georgia, and he winds up choosing Florida. That Florida beat Georgia for somebody, like, that's not a sentence anybody said in a while. So that's saying something. Shamar James, who was one of the players who decommitted when all was falling apart at the end of the season, he came back in the fold. So Napier went and got him. They've only got nine guys signed, including a kicker named Trey Smack. But
good name.
This leads me to believe they're going to go real heavy portal, because they couldn't get in on the guys they wanted to get in on in the limited time they had.
Ari, it's time to talk about your favorite school, University of Texas. University of Texas. Good day for the Longhorns, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't make the vow to Andy on the Andy Staples show that I'm never going to go back in on Texas, I would be back in on Texas.
I mean, well, this is a different show. You can do it. Same feed, but
Quinn
different show.
Quinn Ewers is a part of their 2022 class, flipping a top 100 player from Ohio State in Texas and Dallas on signing day. You know, there's a lot to like about, you know, Texas's class. And there always is a lot to like about Texas's class. And they've got 27 commitments right now, one five-star prospect, 17 four-stars. And, you know, there's a chance they're going to
Devin Campbell, right? I mean, they're probably considered the favorite.
They're probably
going
to get Devin Campbell in February. But anytime anybody pushes their announcement back 3 months, you kind of have to, like, take the bird out of the hand a little bit. But, you know, their class is solid from top to bottom. Not nearly as top-heavy as Texas A&M's or some of the other you know, programs are going to be expected to compete at the highest level. So I don't know if I'm 100% back in, but if you had Quinn Ewers into this mix, he's the real number one overall player in the country.
I know top 100 is kind of the cutoff that we use a lot there, but they have eight top 150. They got a lot of guys in that next tier there too. So it's not like some of their four stars are in the 300. So based on how their season ended and what is going on at Texas A&M, I don't think you could ask for much more from Sark with Quinn Ewers.
I think you could ask a little bit more because they're getting smoked by A&M. And, like, you're always going to be compared to another in-state. So I think it's a very good ending to what Texas is doing. And listen, Denver Harris has to announce, right, still. And some of the other players in the state of Texas who remain uncommitted. Harold Perkins hasn't announced yet, even though he's kind of leaning towards A&M.
There's six five-stars, not announced. Harold Perkins, Damani Jackson, Shamar Stewart, Devin Campbell, Denver Harris, and Josh Connerly.
Two of which are top 10 national players in the state of Texas.
Shamar Stewart, by the way, maybe another potential Jackson State.
I'd not heard that. That would be 2 5 stars in a, like you mentioned, Zach Evans potential 5-star
transfer.
Transfer.
So what would they do though? Just like boat race everybody?
I want to see their schedule. You know, I would love to see them play. I'm sure next year. I mean, the schedules are done so far in advance. It'd be great to see Jackson State play a Power 5 team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they would still get smoked.
Yeah, I mean from an overall roster standpoint.
Yeah, I mean they're but like here's the thing. If you go and you look at the team rankings right now, there are only 6 classes in the entire country that have multiple 5-star prospects committed. And like if Jackson State was 7th, that would be something.
That would be incredible.
Did you guys see the stat about the Big Ten recruiting rankings? The 1-7 were the Big Ten East, and 8-14 were the Big Ten West. That's not good. That's not good for league balance.
Greg Schiano
for you.
Look at Greg Schiano go.
One word is geography, and that's what are you going to do? I'm not saying that no team from the West will ever finish in the top 7, but it's just like if Schiano has Rutgers competently recruiting, then what team in the West has more advantageous geography than anybody in the East? Like the entire balance of the Big Ten is off as a result of this.
Illinois, but that's a whole other topic about why they
always
struggle to recruit. Don't you think Illinois' geography is better than Indiana?
I think they're the same. They're both in no man's land.
Illinois is the state of it.
Don't say Chicago. There's no talent there.
There's some.
I mean, Illinois there's some
close,
in Indy.
But Illinois, isn't Illinois just as close as St. Louis, which...
Yes. I mean, St. Louis is basically East St. Louis.
But there's also a lot to fight over and a lot of schools fighting over St. Louis talent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we want to get into a quibble about whether or not Indiana or Illinois has more advantageous geography, then this podcast is definitely the right place for the people who are listening to it. But yeah, I mean, it's just like you have a bunch of schools that are in Ohio and East.
Okay, if you were a head coach, you were a free agent head coach, and you could forget about the history of the program. And they said you could be the head coach at Indiana or Illinois. Resources of the stadium, the stadium's the same, locker rooms are the same. Where would you pick?
Indiana, but that's only because I've had the fried biscuits from Squealers in Mooresville, Indiana, which is very...
I would pick Indiana because they've recently been pretty good.
1 year. They went 2-10 this year. I know.
When's the last time Illinois was good? Juice Williams in like 2007?
Week 0. They beat Nebraska.
They also beat Penn State.
Yeah, they've had 2 great weeks.
Yeah.
Indiana actually did.
I think they're both dead-end... You're probably getting a fire job.
From a geographical standpoint, a lot more players can drive to Bloomington. A lot more recruits can drive to Bloomington. That's a fact.
Yeah.
So no. I win?
I think it's a tie.
Okay.
Because I voted for me. I think Andy voted for you.
I think Andy just said I won.
I don't like with Andy on this cut because if it's just me, Ari, I can win the bet.
His name's on the feed, bud.
He wins. But Indiana actually had a pretty good class for going 2-10. Helped that Dalen McCullough's brother was hired as the running backs coach, and that they had a ton of momentum right there.
I mean, I guess if you can go look at the way that the classes are ranked right now. Classes that stand out to you as surprising or impressive, I would say North Carolina at 8, Michigan at 9, Kentucky at 11, Missouri at 12, Tennessee is 13, the way you said it, Stanford 15.
Yep.
Arkansas top 20, Indiana top 20, Michigan State 21. I mean,
Arkansas's been a consistent top 25 recruiting school, though.
Yeah.
I would expect them with the momentum they have going.
Yeah. South Carolina has had a really good few weeks.
Yeah.
Not just in the
South Carolina, the portal, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Josh Kendall, who covered South Carolina for a long time, now covers the Falcons, dipped back in the college ranks and wrote a story on Spencer Rattler transferring to South Carolina. Yeah, definitely.
He's going
to
change his beat back after if Rattler can turn out to what he was last year.
Yeah, I know we make fun of Heisman odds at this time, and they're not really that serious, but he said in a story that Rattler still has the third best odds to win it next year as the starting quarterback at South Carolina.
I am going all in Quinn Ewers 28-1.
Ari, we've talked about this.
I mean, that is pretty good odds, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to put like $20 down and forget about it.
No, $100, forget about it.
Okay, Ari, we've talked a lot about this, and you and Andy might have. Other than Lincoln Riley, I think it's obvious he's going to improve his, of the new coaches, Andy, of the new, who's going to improve his school's recruiting stock the best. I mean, Lincoln Riley's, I think, the obvious answer. Other than that, you got Brian Kelly, Marcus Freeman, Billy Napier, Brent Venables, and Mario Cristobal. Yeah, of that top echelon, guys. Oh, we'll throw Dan Lanning in there
at Oregon. Mario Cristobal, I think, would be my, if Lincoln Riley's number one and off the board, my next one would be Mario Cristobal.
Well, especially if you are comparing it to where they were. Because it's like Venables is completely eliminated because they were rolling under Riley before, right?
Right. So Venables is great.
And Dan Lanning,
he's just keeping it going.
He's just keeping it, continuing to be great. I also think it's Cristobal.
Any Marcus Freeman?
Marcus Freeman, maybe. But like, I think that's more conjecture and hypothesis than it is results right now. I want to see the results.
Should it be Billy Napier?
Billy Napier
had the best signing day of any of the new coaches, right? And like, listen, we both gave him a hard time about the way that he fumbled that stars question in his introductory press conference. I don't give a crap what he says in a press conference if he's going to do what he did today.
Well, the thing about that is they all do have their own evaluations. Like Kirby Smart doesn't look at 24/7.
No, I know.
He looks at who
I know.
He thinks
is good.
But
does that not go without saying? Like, you go into the only thing I ever thought, and I don't think we talked about this, Andy, and I'll get your thoughts on this, and Mitch and I have talked about this, but if you are the new head coach at Florida, like Billy Napier is, you have to know and understand where it went wrong previously. And if you are asked a question about recruiting or asked about stars or recruiting at the same level as Alabama without the use of the word stars, in that moment, in the introductory press conference, you have to recognize where it went off the rails and rise to the occasion and say what you need to say for the fan base craving to hear it, don't you? Like, it's like it felt like he was completely tone deaf of what the fan base had just been waterboarded with for like the previous 2 years.
What you say there, I think it matters. Do you beat Georgia for a recruit? Which he did.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, I mean,
that's
Kirby
just
Smart
one. You got to do it multiple times, but that's the start.
Now, I know, but how many times did Dan Mullen beat Georgia for a five-star recruit head-to-head in the last 3 years?
I believe it's
zero, right?
Yeah.
It's like Billy Napier's already done it more times than Dan Mullen in, what, a week and a half on the job?
Right. So,
and it's like, obviously, what you do is more important than what you say, but in the moment, what he said was all we had, and I just was like, oh boy, here we go again moment, because it's just like, read the room. If your girlfriend if the girl that you're falling in love with just got...
What are you going to say?
I know this is going to be a torture analogy. look at the wheels turning.
I don't know how far I can take this, but it's a podcast behind a paywall most of the time. And hey, you can take it wherever you want. On a podcast you can write. You have a girlfriend. You meet this girl. And all three of us are single in this scenario. You meet this girl, and she is the love of your life. It's love at first sight. You see this person and you know for a fact that you want to be with them for the rest of your life. You have the information when you meet her that her last relationship failed because her ex-boyfriend was an alcoholic. Your first dinner...
You're calling Dan Mullen an alcoholic?
No, it's an analogy. Your first dinner, the introductory press conference... is your chance to make an impression.
That's not your first dinner. First time,
do
that's
you
your
order
first
six?
Phone call.
Yeah, whatever. Your first time, the introductory press conference is the first dinner. You don't get hammered at the table. You know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do and what people need to see and what they need to hear to make the right impression. And in my opinion, he dropped the ball on the impression. Now, obviously, no one gives a shit about it now. yeah, I guess like but to go back on my analogy, you could just say, I'm sorry I got drunk. I'm not an alcoholic. I haven't had a drink for 7 days.
Here's my AA chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Andy, I brought this up.
I
brought this up to Ari. You talk to a lot of coaches more than me and Ari around coaches. We know how they're so single-minded. Their focus is so narrow. Billy Napier's trying to win a Sun Belt title. Do you think he just did not know about all the, like, did he not read Ari's column about?
No, he knew.
Dan
he knew
Mullen, exactly. Like, do you think he knew what was going on with that?
Yeah, no, okay. That was, he was briefed. He was briefed
the thing
by
I,
Scott
the thing I don't
absolutely.
The thing I don't understand is, why is there a reluctance to acknowledge the importance of recruiting when talking about it?
I don't think there was. There was more to that. There was more to what he said, though.
I know, but I'm saying there is a general, not just with Napier, across the board, there is this general dismissal of the importance of getting good players.
No. It's not a dismissal of the importance of getting good players. They all will say they want to get good players. They dismiss the system of recruiting services, ranking the players, and the rankings by those recruiting services because they want their own evaluations to tower over those. Because how could a layman possibly be able to evaluate as well as this highly paid football coach? That's
meanwhile, the most successful program in college football just correlates with the top 100 players nationally constantly and just wins national championships every year.
Well,
so I don't understand why there's a reluctance.
And this is I wish I could remember who told me this. If somebody years ago who worked for Scout, and it was one of their lead evaluators, and they said, look, the fact of the matter is the top 50 players in the country, we could put a person who's never watched a game of football out there, and they can identify those as the best players on the field.
It's like saying, is Barry Sanders good at football? Why don't we get anybody who doesn't watch the game? They know he's good at football.
You know you know what Kirby Smart loves, though? He loves Jordan Davis, his three-star.
Developed Ladd McConkey.
And he yeah, exactly.
It's more impressive to get the best player out of high school and then have him rock shit in every game that you play.
It's both, though.
So Nolan Smith,
Or every other first round draft pick that's going to be, you know, right. I think it's more impressive that Dabo Swinney got Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence was the best player in college football for 3 years. Then I was more impressed of that than what Urban Meyer did with JT Barrett.
Right. Urban Meyer also got Chase Young and both Bosa brothers who were exactly as advertised.
I'm trying to think, who's the best three-star quarterback of the last 3 years?
Mac Jones.
He's four-star, I think.
What Dabo Swinney got and did with Trevor Lawrence.
Well, Kyle Trask four-star. Was a two. How's that?
Yeah. Kyle Trask is probably the best example. And maybe this isn't the right people are going to lose their minds. But like, I would much rather pat Dabo Swinney on the back for getting the best player out of high school and then letting him achieve greatness because he's the best than I would be like, oh wow, Dan Mullen is like a quarterback whisperer.
Dan Mullen didn't sign Kyle Trask. That's Jim McElwain.
But he got,
should be given
he was the head coach
too. Yeah.
that massaged the numbers that they got out of him a year ago. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm not saying that you don't have to develop, but it's so much harder to get the guy than it is to coach the guy, in my opinion.
Well, that was the hope with Dan Mullen. He's the guy that got Dak Prescott when LSU didn't want him until the very end and goes to Florida, that he doesn't need the Kyle Trasks. He doesn't need the two-star. He gets the Trevor Lawrences. And then he can use
his... That didn't work out that way. Now Billy Napier has to go get the Trevor Lawrences, which I think he's... That's probably his mindset. If we're judging by what he went after right off the bat, right out of the chute, that seems to be his mindset. We'll see.
Saw Emory Jones. Didn't he say he was going to the portal today?
Yes.
So is it Anthony Richardson time? No doubt about it.
I think so. I think that's what that means.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right. We have talked a lot about a lot of teams, a lot of leagues. We've mentioned USC. We've mentioned Oregon, but you know, we're all on social media.
Can we say the thing about USC, not to interrupt you, but USC is going to finish with like three top 50 players in their class this year, and it's going to still be outside of the top 50?
It's going to be the most top-heavy class probably.
Well, there's going to be like nine signees, and half of them are going to be four-star prospects and up.
Yeah. Other than USC getting Relique Brown and Zion Branch today, like there was no buzz anywhere about any Pac-12 school. Now, three of the biggest brands in the league have new coaches, USC, Oregon, and Washington, but this didn't exactly go a long way in helping them close any talent gap today. I mean, Utah does what Utah does. Their recruiting's better, but they're not making huge splashes. UCLA, I didn't see anything
in the Pac-12 was Stanford, right?
Yes, yes. But they had most of the guys come in. UCLA. I didn't see anything on UCLA today. Just lack of buzz at
there's
Pac-12.
No buzz. And like last year, USC even before when Helton was still the coach had buzz. I think USC signed four top rated players of their position in the state of California, and like six or seven or even eight top 100 players last year. So like USC and Oregon are the only two teams that have had any buzz. But I will say, I know I like to tease you, Mitch, about talking about Vanderbilt and your alma mater. Like my alma mater,
yes,
Arizona has the number 35 class overall right now. They've got two top 250 players, both of which are from California, and they signed 9 or 10 top 1,000 players. A year ago, Kevin Sumlin's class had one top 1,000 player in it, Andy. Like a Power 5 team.
Yeah, Jed Fish has work cut out for him, and it's going to take probably a couple more classes like this to get them
to be like fine.
Competitive, but
if they have a few
start.
More classes like this to be fine.
They got better as the season. He kept them together. They got better as the season
progressed. It's almost like Kevin Sumlin wasn't trying at all.
It's hard when you're the university, a state school like that, to sign one top 1,000 guy.
I bet you if you looked up the numbers, and maybe you can do this on your own time, Mr. I like opening up spreadsheets.
I do.
It wouldn't be my own time. It would be my company. It would be company time.
How many times in the history of modern day recruiting has a Power 5 team anywhere only signed one top 1,000 player? I bet
I'm gonna
you
look that up.
I bet you Arizona might have been the only one ever.
It's true. Even that last Derek Dooley class at Tennessee that had no offensive linemen, I think probably had more top 1,000 players. Probably had several top 1,000 players. Maybe all of them were top 1,000 players.
Yeah. I mean, only one is like that class was finishing behind group of five classes that only had three commitments with profiles.
We haven't talked Dan Lanning to Oregon from a recruiting standpoint. What does he do for it? Does he do anything for you guys?
Sure. I mean, he's known as a very good recruiter. I mean, look, anybody who's been in that machine, if they were paying attention, is going to be able to go get players. Now, you're going to have to do a lot of the same things Mario Cristobal was doing, where you're going to Southern California. Cristobal would go to Utah. He'd go to Texas. So you got to be able to do that and just go get them wherever they are because they don't live near you. So they're all getting on a plane. So just go where you know that they got players.
The one thing I will say, and you alluded to this, Andy, is you have a person who was exposed to the machine for over 3 years. And when you're a part of that machine and you're exposed to that machine, your understanding of what expectations for good recruiting are different from people who have never been in that machine.
Right.
So like his fundamental baseline of what he has to do at Oregon.
But remember, he's
brain,
replacing someone who looked at it the same way.
Right. No, I'm not saying that Oregon. I think that Oregon is in a good position to continue to match what Mario Cristobal was doing. But I always feel more comfortable hiring a coordinator from a program that's signing 10 to 12 top 100 players every year, because when you're in that machine, that is your fundamental understanding of what recruiting is supposed to look like. Whereas you can hire somebody from the group of five or somebody from a middle tier program that got more results than their program indicated. that might do it like the other way, like the Brian Harsin way.
Right. You know, and I'm not sort saying like that the Jamie Chadwell argument, you know,
or you go get the guy who had to live with Kirby Smart's demands and recruiting every single day and meet those standards. And like, I would take that.
Yeah. Mel Tucker. But then Absolutely. Jeremy Pruitt, you also got to be able to, you know, run a program and be a head coach.
You it's also, pizza yeah, dough, you, guys. You have to have a coherent philosophy, which that's what got Jeremy Pruitt. Offense got Will Muschamp, you know. So you do have to have a good on-field philosophy to match that, because just as important as being able to get good players is being able to identify the players that work for what you do. And Nick is great at that. Dabo's great at that. Ryan Day is great at that. Like, it's not an accident that those programs are so good. Lincoln Riley understands exactly what he's looking for to succeed in that offense.
Good players.
Andy, are you on board?
Good players who do what you do. It's like, if you have a five-star guard who's 350 pounds and you run a wide zone run scheme, you're wasting him. Like, he's not going to be good at what you do. You need a 305-pound
guy. Every five-star wide receiver or skill position player on the face of the earth can be put into a Lincoln Riley system.
Well, that's also a feature of Lincoln Riley's offense. He's built it where whatever size you are, you know, physical attributes you have, they'll
Antonio
find a way
Morales,
to take
our
advantage.
Our USC writer will say that Lincoln Riley will be made or broken by how he recruits the lines.
100%. 100%. And
there's no doubt he's going to have skill. Yeah.
Lack of elite interior defensive linemen is what the difference was between Oklahoma and the teams they lost to in the playoff.
Yep.
And I brought this up a couple weeks ago, but I was listening to Bruce and Stu on the Audible interviewing Jim Mora, and I think Stu or Bruce prefaced a question by saying, you're in a place with elite talent. He said, good. I said, not elite on the line of scrimmage in Southern California. He said, we had great skill guys, wide receivers, but for whatever reason, not elite at the line of scrimmage. So, sort of what Antonio said, that's going to be the case.
Yeah, they would have the occasional good edge rusher. They never really had that guy up the middle.
Ari, are we ready for the question?
We are ready for the question.
Okay, and each week I ask Ari sort of a recruiting trivia question. I do some research that usually aren't really gettable. They're really difficult, but just kind of spur conversation. I've tailored this one to you.
Okay.
Who are the 10, you don't have to get them in order, you just have to get the names.
Oh boy.
The 10 most highly rated Florida signees of the modern era from 2002 on.
Ronald Powell is the highest rated recruit of all time. So he's obviously number one.
Number one.
Percy Harvin.
Correct, number three.
Okay. Brandon Spikes.
And by the way, Brock Berlin was on this list, but he was 2000, so we're going since like 2002.
Yeah,
he was
like number one overall. Brandon Spikes is on there?
No.
Really? Okay.
I did not go. I should have looked like 11 through 15 to see, but I don't think
Carlos
he was 12.
Dunlap?
Nope. Good name.
Wow. Sir. Urban did pretty – okay.
I mean, he signed the greatest class of all time in 06. Yeah. So
Mike and Marquise Pouncey. Yeah. They didn't sign the greatest class of all time.
They're not. Neither one.
Neither one. Wow. Okay, yeah. So somebody – okay. Oh, Joe Hayden in that 07 class would have definitely been on that list.
Nope.
You got to be kidding me.
Let's all right, see. So I think I still – no.
Yeah. I mean, there's like one name that is absolutely on that list. Can I help or do you not want me to help?
Yeah.
Tebow would be the first one that
Tim
I would
Tebow
say.
Is not on there.
Yeah, I knew
– what?
Tebow was not as –
I thought Tebow was a five-star prospect.
No, he was
a lot of five-star – was he? Okay, but they –
yeah. Yeah, Tebow was a four-star. Percy was the highest-rated player in the 06 class. I'm a little surprised Spikes – I thought Spikes was the second-highest-rated player, so I'm wrong
on that. I'm going to pull it up to see if Spikes was in that next tier.
Yeah, that's – now it's bugging me. So we got to get into this, some
I got another one.
Recruits.
I remember this one.
Okay.
Sharif Floyd.
Yes, number nine from Philly,
okay,
I believe, right?
The 2010 class had quite a bit going on there.
So none of the guys you've mentioned are even on the top 15.
How about Dominic Easley?
That you didn't get. Yes, number 7. So we've gotten 4 so far.
Dominic Easley, Sharif Floyd, and Ronald Powell, by the way, all in the same class. So I'll stay in the 2010 class. Is Matt Elam on there?
No more 2010 guys.
Okay. All right. Let's see. There's got to be somebody else in the 07 class. That class had a bunch of good players. Oh,
is Chris Leak on there?
No.
I'm surprised he was a pretty... How about James Wilson?
Nope. What year was he? Really? I don't remember him.
He's a very highly rated offensive lineman that didn't... Carl Johnson.
Nope. You've got... Really? You want some hints?
I've got one. Give me hints. Okay. I'm going to try one more. Is CC Jefferson on there?
No, he's close. He's number 13.
Jalen Tabor.
Nope.
Dang.
Okay, Florida's stacked.
Number 10, number 10 was a really good running back from the early to mid 2000s.
Siatric Faison?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, number 2. Class of he's an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Big tackle. Mid-teens. Okay. Signed in the mid-teens.
Oh, from Apopka. Martez Ivey.
Yes. Okay. Number 14. I think from Tampa. Still in the NFL. If I give you the position, we'd give it away. But from cornerback. Tampa, I think Seffner.
An Armwood player.
Oh, Vernon Hargraves.
Yes.
Nope. Vernon Hargraves went to Wharton. He's new Tampa all the way, baby.
Okay.
But yes.
But so am I right or wrong?
Yeah, it's him. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He said Seffner, so I'm assuming an Armwood player. He went to Wharton.
Okay. I knew it was from the area. Another offensive tackle, 2012. I remember him, but I don't remember how good he was.
I think I'm tapped out here, guys. That's
okay.
2012 offensive tackle. All right. Man, these Muschamp signees are just escaping my mind. It is a... He is starting in the NFL. I watched him on Monday Night Football the other night. DJ Humphreys.
Yeah, what team is he on?
He's on the Cardinals.
Okay.
He's the Cardinals starting left tackle.
Number 6, safety, Urban Meyer era. Four-letter first name, four-letter last name. No. Four-letter first name, four-letter last name.
Whew, safety. What am I blanking on?
Will Hill.
Oh, Will Hill! Oh, who could forget Will Hill and his amazing
you did.
Yeah. Sour.
And then the last class of 2019 linebacker, number 8.
The 2019 class?
2009 linebacker.
Oh, 2009. You said 2019.
Sorry.
I was like, wait.
Sorry.
I don't remember any moment. That would be Jeline Jenkins.
You got it.
Wow.
So
that was harder than I thought it was going to be.
I can't believe Jarvis Moss isn't on there.
They won 2 national championships.
There's one random Florida signee that was supposed to be badass who didn't really live up to his potential, but I thought might be on the list. I remember this because Ohio State was recruiting him hard when I was first on the beat. But Andre DeBose was
Andre
there.
DeBose
wasn't he the next Percy Harvin?
He went to one of my rival high schools. He's just always hurt. He was electric before the injuries, but he wound up being there all 5 years and just never really could be healthy the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, the next guys on the list: Andre Caldwell, Derek Harvey, CC Jefferson, current player, or Gervin Dexter might have been a senior this year, right?
And no, he's a sophomore this year.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 5-star last year. Oh, Chris Leak. 2003, Gary Brown, 2009.
Wow. Gary Brown never made it to campus. He's from the Panhandle.
Okay. Carlos Dunlop, Jarvis Moss, Tease Tabor, Matt Elam. Okay, so Jonathan Bullard, Tim Tebow, Andre
DeBose.
What was
Tim Tebow's ranking?
He was a 5-star.
I knew it.
But, I mean, this tells you he's 24th, and he's a 5-star. I mean,
24th?
Yeah, Florida.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes 25 deep. DeBose is 25. So they've had at least 25 5-stars in the modern era.
Wow. That's crazy.
None of them came from Mullen. Okay. Sorry. Salt.
Dexter was a Mullen signee.
Yeah, I know. I'm just teasing.
You should have told him, Ari. He needed more 5-stars. He'd still have a job. So, Ari, Ari's job.
I would have thought about that.
Ari's job in this podcast. What do you do, Ari?
I just yell stars. Oh, I got to say goodbye now.
Yeah, Ari signs. I sign on. Ari signs off.
You see how awkward Mitch's entries are. I am
you're the worst.
Editor of The Athletic. I'm here with Ari Wasserman from The Athletic, and our guest is Andy Staples from The Athletic. Thank you so much for listening to the delirious post-signing day Stars Matter. I think I might volunteer us to add another bonus episode when things start to, you know, settle down a little bit. Andy, it was great having you as a guest on our show in your feed.
I'm honored. This was I've been waiting to go on Stars Matter since you guys started. I can't believe you finally invited me.
Are you going to lose sleep over the trivia question tonight? You're going to be angry?
Florida's really hard.
I'm a little mad at myself. Are
you disappointed in yourself?
Yeah. The DJ Humphreys one. I'm mad that I didn't get that right off the bat. Like, I watched him on Monday Night Football the other night. And I'm like, oh, it's DJ Humphreys.
I asked Ari the same thing with Ohio State last week. I think he got them all. Maybe he took 11 guesses to get the 10 guys.
Well, the difference between Ohio State and Florida is that...
Yeah.
Well, no. Also, all of Ohio State's top signees came since like 2013.
Right. It's more condensed.
So it's a little bit easier to remember.
Like, you notice how fast I got Siatric Faison.
Yeah.
Did he play? He played in the NFL, right?
A little bit. Yeah. C4 from the Jacksonville area.
Yeah. Good player. I remember him. So, all right, Ari.
Well, it was cathartic to talk to you guys about recruiting. And I still feel like there's so much more to break down, and I'm sure we will. Andy, thanks again so much for joining us. Mitch, thank you for trying to host properly. I'm the talent, and thanks so much for...
I know, that's why I have to host, and you're the talent.
No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.